All right, it is now 1:30 on the second day of October. Time is 2024, and it's time for today's Board of Commissioners meeting. Hearing regarding request from Greg Payne for conditional rezone from an A agriculture zone and C1 neighborhood commercial zone to a CR-C-2 conditional rezone service commercial zone. Case is CR-2022-0007. The staff report and any additional exhibits have been posted on the county website on the land use hearings page. If you want to open those documents and haven't done so, you may want to do that. Conflict of interest. Before we begin taking testimony, is there any member of the board who, for reasons of a conflict of interest, request to be excused from participating in this item?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
No, Mr. Chairman.
And no for myself. Are there any declarations pertaining to this request of meetings, such as site reviews or conversations outside of the hearing?
Chairman, the only declaration I have is I've been friends, our family's been friends with the Paynes for a number of years. Our kids went to school together, but that does not affect my ability to render an unbiased decision.
Nothing for me, Mr. Chairman.
And neither for me. So as chairman of the board, I will maintain order by restricting inappropriate discussion or disorderly conduct. At this time, I'll explain to you in summation of the procedures we must follow under Canyon County Code of Ordinance 070503 regarding testimony guidelines. The applicant who requested the hearing or their representatives will testify first after the DSD presentation, since the applicant has the burden of proof. Testimony will then be given for those in favor of the applicant, followed by the witnesses who have signed to testify as neutral. So far today, there is no one that has signed in opposition. The applicant or their representatives will be allowed 10 minutes for their presentation. So the board may make exceptions to the time requirements for expert witnesses, unique or unusual circumstances, and or complex issues. All other individuals testifying will be allowed 3 minutes of non-repetitive testimony. If a person speaks before you that you agree with, please state their name and that you agree with their testimony. When testimony in opposition is concluded, or for today, when the neutral is concluded, the applicant will be permitted 5 minutes of rebuttal testimony. If you refer to an exhibit or a computer projection, please use specific verbal descriptions such as exhibit number, location, or direction so that a transcript can be made for review if necessary. We are ready now for the oath of affirmation.
We have Mr. Carl Anderson, Alan Mills, Greg Payne, Bill Warhain, Carl Anderson, Steve Miller, Holly King. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
Okay, all right. We'll now begin taking evidence by calling development services staff to present the staff summary and any late exhibits.
Thank you, Chairman Holden and Commissioners. As stated before you is a request to conditionally rezone a portion of the 21.84 acre parcel, actually the whole parcel, from agriculture to C1 to a conditional rezone to C2, which is a service commercial zone. As you see on the screen, is a portion of the property is already zoned C1, and the remainder of the parcel is zoned agricultural. The applicant letter of intent, Exhibit 2A, says due to farming being difficult in the area, traffic, school buses, and surrounding development, a commercial designation matches the City of Caldwell's future land use plans and our comprehensive plans, and finds that the C2 zone would provide more flexibility for the uses they want on that property. The 21.84 acre property is considered original. There's no structures on that parcel, so it has been used in agricultural production. The applicant is requesting a development agreement with conditions prohibiting the uses shown on the screen: a church, clinics and hospitals, daycare facilities, mortuaries, crematoriums, and funeral homes. museums, public uses and quasi-public uses, radio, television, and broadcasting stations, schools, and vehicle fueling stations with convenience stores. So as 760706A of the Canyon County Code, there's eight findings that have to be made to approve the request. Briefly go over those. It has to be generally consistent with our comp plan. When considering the surrounding land uses, is it more appropriate than the current zone? Is the proposed request compatible with the surrounding land uses? Will it negatively affect the characters of the area? If so, what measures will be implemented to mitigate impacts? Will it have adequate facilities, services such as sewer, water, drainage, irrigation, and utilities? Does the proposed request require public street improvements in order to provide adequate access to and from the property to minimize undue interference with existing and future traffic patterns? Is there any mitigation measures for that those impacts? Does it have legal access or can it have legal access? And then will the proposed request impact essential public services and facilities such as school, fire, emergency services, and if there's any measures to mitigate those impacts? So we're going to go over this. Staff is going to summarize what the staff report's analysis states, and then at the end we'll open it for questions. So the first finding is it's generally consistent with the comp plan. So the 2020 Canyon County Comprehensive Plan designates the parcel and parcels south and north of State Highway 44 as commercial, as shown in Exhibit 3C of your staff report. The commercial designations are intended to provide for commercial uses that can provide for a variety of commercial uses that provides goods and services to businesses, travelers, and residents of the Canyon County, or of the county. And that's from page 37 of our Canyon County Comprehensive Plan. The subject parcel is located within Middleton's impact area, and Middleton designates the parcel and parcels south and north on the highway as commercial and mixed use. Existing zones. The parcel is zoned agricultural and C1 neighborhood commercial. Neighborhood commercial is designated as providing for local commercial service needs and to restrict incompatible uses. The request is for a C2 service commercial zone, which is to provide areas where activities of a service nature, which are more intense in character than in other zone commercial zones, may be carried out. 7 acres along State Highway 44 are already zoned C1. That was conducted in 2011 as a blanket rezone, and that is Exhibit 5 in your staff report packet. So surrounding uses, the average lot size within the vicinity is 2.71 acres. Property consists of best suited to moderately suited soil and considered prime farmland or farmland of statewide importance. 30 subdivisions and one are located within a 1 mile radius. Average lot size is 1.73 acres. The adjacent subdivisions are Atkins Sub, approved in 1971, 10 lots with a 2.14 acre average lot size. North Slope Estates, 1 and 2, approved in between 2004 and 2005, 27 lots, 3 acre average lot size. And Whittle Subdivision, 1971, 10 lots, 1.14 acre average lot size. Land use divisions within a 1 mile radius between 2018 to 2020 are comprised of subdivisions and, land use decisions within a 1 mile radius between 2018 and 2020 are comprised of subdivisions and rezones to a residential zoning district. Here are site photos. This is a site photo looking north, east, south, and west from Canyon Lane. Canyon Lane is a public road that doesn't go through, so it dead ends as you get to North Slope Subdivision. So Canyon Lane, public road. As you see, there's other A-zone properties in that location, so you see agriculture land. You can see the concrete ditch on the Payne property. And then also to the north is that North Slope Estates. To the east Again, 14.36 acre average lot size agricultural property. This slide shows northeast, southwest from Highway 44. So to the south is agriculturally zoned, and C1 zone consists mostly of residential uses. And then to the west, agricultural, rural residential, and R1 zones with many subdivisions. So Whittle, Sleepy Hollow, and Saddleback Ridge. So adequate facilities. Future development will require well and septic systems. City, Middleton City jurisdiction and city services are located over 4,000 feet east of the subject parcel. The property is not located in a nitrate priority area. The parcel has surface water rights from Middleton Mills, Middleton Irrigation Association. The parcel has frontage on Canyon Lane, a local road maintained by Canyon Highway District Number 4 and State Highway 44. A principal highway, principal arterial highway maintained by Idaho Transportation Department. Existing agricultural field access appears to be from State Highway 44. Due to the variety of uses allowed in the C2 zone, trip generation frequency varies dramatically. It is anticipated that the rezone change on approximately 22 acres will require a traffic impact study because trip generation will exceed 500 trips per day or 50 trips per hour. And that's from letters from Highway District Number 4. Essential services, the project parcel, or sorry, the subject parcel is served by Middleton Fire District, Middleton School District, Canyon County Sheriffs, and Canyon County EMT paramedics. No comments were received. Middleton Fire District Station 53 is 2.5 miles east of the subject parcel, approximately 5 minutes distance. So comments received from the public, a comment letter was received opposing the request unless it is a rental storage use. That's Exhibit 4E of your staff report. The letter expresses concerns regarding increased traffic and noise. Agency comments, received a comment from City of Nampa, no comment. Black Canyon Irrigation District just stating that it's Middleton Irrigation Association's jurisdiction. Letter from Highway District provides future access locations for commercial development and states a TIS will be required prior to commencement of use. ITD had no opposition. ITD requires review at the time of conceptual development plan. So potential impacts of this request. The applicant did not provide a conceptual plan or a specific use. Therefore, impacts on adequate service, surrounding use, character, access, traffic, and essential services are unknown. The applicant requests the rezone be first approved and then and provide that flexibility to work with the other agencies as they prior to commencement of use. Based on existing commercial zones in the area, the transitional character of the area going to residential and some commercial, staff finds the C1 zone is the most appropriate zone for this area. Again, Canyon County Zoning Ordinance Section 7-10-25-6 says the purpose of the C1 zone is to provide for local commercial service needs and to restrict incompatible uses. When considering the 2020 Canyon County Comprehensive Plan, the Board of County Commissioners found the C1 zone to be the most appropriate along State Highway 44 during the blanketing of the commercial use on State Highway 44 back in 2011. Looking at that date, 2011, since then, looking at 13 properties within 3,000 foot radius of this parcel, only two parcels appear to be in commercial use since that time. The rest of them are either vacant or in residential use. And one of the parcels adjacent to this parcel, R34459, has a residence on it, even though it's designated to be commercial and zone commercial. The C1 zone requires a conditional use permit for the uses that better address potential impacts and compatible uses near residential parcels. Also, it gives protects from time frame issues. So let's just say a C2 zone allows for a certain amount of uses. Looking at the history of 2011 and nothing, no commercial use has happened on this property, you could approve a C2 zone, have these allowed uses And they can just happen at any point without, there could be a change in our code, there could be change in how we review things, and those are allowed uses now. Instead of going through a conditional use permit process to address the impacts at that time when they want to use it. So going through that, some of these uses that would change through with a C2 zone are commercial arenas where in the agricultural zone and C1 zone, they require a conditional use permit, but in this C2 zone would be allowed. A contractor shop would be allowed instead of a CUP. Mini storage, RV storage would be allowed instead of a conditional use permit. Mobile and manufacturing home sales would be allowed through CUP, but are currently not allowed in C1 or A zone. RV parks would be allowed. Sell of heavy building materials and machinery would be allowed. Schools are allowed, but the applicants are willing to prohibit those. A theater would be allowed. Transit and trucking terminal facility would just be an allowed use. Oh, sorry, a conditional use permit. I'm sorry. Vehicle sales and vehicle service facilities would be allowed, and warehousing would be allowed. Again, this application doesn't address those potential uses on that site and how traffic would be handled, adequate services, what would do to the surrounding area, to where a CUP would be more appropriate when that use is being requested, where those impacts could be well vetted. And that goes back to our purpose of a CUP, a conditional use permit. Canyon County Zoning Ordinance 7701 says, every use which requires the granting of a conditional use permit is declared to possess characteristics which require review and appraisal by the commission to determine whether or not the use would cause any damage, hazard, nuisance, or other detriment to persons or property in the vicinity. With that being said, staff is recommending, the Planning and Zoning Commission is recommending denial of this case. Exhibit 8 and 9 provides the FCOs and the minutes for that case. They found that the burden of proof is upon the applicant to prove that all criteria are satisfied without specific plan or mitigation measures that could adequately address potential impacts to the character, compatibility, services, traffic, and essential services. There is not enough evidence to meet the hearing criterion that was shown earlier. So staff has provided a draft FCO that is based on the recommendations by the Planning and Zoning Commission, Exhibit 10. And the recommendation is to gain approval, the applicant should consider rezoning to a C1 zone. Approximately 7 acres are already C1, so therefore the 14 acres could be rezoned to mimic that, and then the uses that they wish to have can go through the conditional use permit process when they're ready to establish that use. However, your decision options today are approve the case as recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Approve the case, provide an amended findings and development agreement conditions, and direct staff to provide revised findings and conditions. Deny the case as recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission, or continue the hearing to ask for more information. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Okay. Questions?
Yep, Dan, I have a couple questions for you. First, in the uses that they excluded on there, can you just define what a public and quasi-public use is? It doesn't give us a whole lot of clues and why that one was picked.
I can go into that. So, real quick, as you can see, a public use and a quasi-public use is a conditional use permit in the ag zone that they currently have on the property, and then the C1 area is an allowed use. And so the C2 zone doesn't ultimately change much if they want to prohibit that or not. Going to our code, and I'll just quickly go to, I'll pull that over here so I can see it. And so when we look at public, quasi-public uses, we're looking at, I'm just gonna pull the definition, 7203, which talks about those uses. And I'm almost there, I promise. Right there. So we have a public use, which is a public park, school, and administrative and cultural buildings and structures, but not included public land or buildings devoted solely to the storage or maintenance of equipment and materials and public service facilities. Also public-owned buildings, fire and police stations, libraries, postal office, and public utility administration buildings. And then a quasi-public use is hospitals, convalescent homes, colleges, and other facilities of an education, religious, charitable, and philanthropic nature that are nonprofit organizations or exempt properties.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for pointing us to that reference. And then I have a question. You said only 2 of 13 parcels that have a commercial zoning on that corridor are active. So I did not see or hear a review like that Do Right Nursery is located in that area, and so is Rainy Day Landscape. And I'm just familiar because my kids went to school there, Chairman. So what's the proximity of those?
I would have to look that up. What staff did is take from the center of this property that, and then went out and looked at all the commercial property that has been there. Staff did not find a business that popped up underneath that that property. We saw a lot of houses. And again, the zone, like a residential zone and agriculture zone, are allowed to have daycares. That's a business home occupation. That's a home business. If those are not going to come up as businesses, they're going to us, that's just something that's allowed as part of that zone. I was looking at for specific businesses that would match that C1 zoning. And staff saw mostly vacant lots and residential uses. I think we found 2, and one of them might be that nursery. I would have to check again.
Okay.
Most of them were not being used for commercial use.
And just confirm, we did not receive comments from the city of Middleton, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
So Commissioner Van Beek sort of asked this question. So within that circle of impact, there were no other C1, C2 type uses other than the couple that you mentioned?
Correct. Staff found more of the use of commercial east of the property, closer to Middleton's jurisdiction. After that, it was either vacant land, residential, and then as you get closer to the highway, you start seeing more of the commercial uses that were approved along that corridor near Old Highway 30.
Right, and then, Dan, there was approval on north of Highway 30 at that juncture by the Oregon Trail Church, which has now been renamed, but there is some commercial or industrial development north of that, correct?
Through the chair, yes. The only one that's zoned C2, though, is a storage facility. And that was, I think I have it in our staff report packet, but it was done a while back. It was done through conditional rezone to a C2, and it was limited to just that storage facility and caretakers. That was it. There was nothing more they can do with that C2 zone. So it was very specific. Other than that, it's all C1, the commercial zones in that location.
Okay, and then, Chairman, I have another question because I was a part of that decision, but I was also a part of the approval of a storage unit that was east in between Star and Middleton. And so was there any analysis done on the tolerance or the saturation threshold for storage units in that area?
Through the chair, during this review, no.
Okay.
Last review of that application, that is pretty far east from this property.
It's almost in Star.
Right. And last I looked, there haven't proceeded with that. It looks like they're selling the property. So
okay.
It may not happen.
Oh, I see. And then, Chairman, this was, I remembered that I had a conversation with Becky Crofts, and this has been maybe a year and a half ago, so it was not relevant to this application, which I had no knowledge was coming. But they indicated they did not provide comments as a city of Middleton, but she just communicated on a city tour that they were disappointed that the board had approved that they did not need that. That's it's a part of a conversation, but I'm tossing it out there. So, and thank you for the status update on that. And the board did hold them substantially compliant to that, and I would say that that's probably been influential in how they move forward. Thank you.
Questions, Commissioner? Okay. All right, that'll do it. So let's have the applicant or their representative and come up and state your name and address, and you'll have 10 minutes to make your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Alan Mills, Box 206, Middleton, Idaho. First of all, I'd like to thank the board for continuing this. I was suffering with a broken tooth in emergency surgery at the last one and was not in the mood to take anything on, so appreciate that. We are attempting by this request to create a home for commercial businesses, which would be a boon for the county tax coffers and for current residential taxpayers. The page 24 of our comprehensive plan shows the percentages of industrial, agricultural, residential, and commercial. We are less than 1% commercial in this county. There's a complete imbalance. I'm kind of a little bit amazed that we only have a couple businesses within this, because I can name you three on one property. We've got the Well Drillers on Ballard Lane, right just across the road and just east. We have Jerry Nicolona Concrete Staging Yard next to him, and we have a machinery sales yard next to that. We rezoned those properties from conditional M1 industrial, which is when Diamond Z was manufacturing there, and now there are four users right on that property alone. Got Terry's Mobile Vehicle Service, which is a old long-standing business just east of us. We have a glass repair contiguous to us. We have an RV conditional C2 zoning right contiguous to us next to this property across the road. It seems like we're trying to minimize what's really happening. The county has long identified Highway 44 corridor as future commercial, just like they did between Caldo and Nampa, and they rezoned that proactively in 1979, and it's developed. There are still some vacant properties there today, but it's appropriate. It was appropriate then, it's appropriate now, and it filled up with businesses. So C2 zoning, if we have to be next to C2 zoning to get C2 zoning, we'll never have any in the county. There's that little of it out there. That being a prerequisite should be discarded. Is this appropriate or not? And we do have C2 zoning. I did that for Scott Cheney Stott up there for the RV and mini storage. And across that from the north is another mini storage and RV storage that was done by CUP, not by rezone, way back. So the trend is definitely to commercial on this corridor. It's not to residential. Mr. Payne originally contemplated rezoning 14 acres on South Hartley to C2, but after we met with the city, it was contiguous to the city, they said, and we agreed with them, that that property was too valuable to go to that type of a use. And we agreed, and today there is a Maverick store being constructed right there on that property. They, at that time when we talked to them, said the Hartley property, which is this one, would be much more appropriate for that. And we mutually agreed to pursue that course instead of pushing for the other one. I could maybe get this map if I do. We have one that's a little bigger that shows a little more. I don't want you to just take my word for it, but this is the contractor shop yard, this is the Well Driller yard, and this is the machinery. And you'll see some antiques there, and you'll see a really interesting K Caterpillar that was dropped in World War II to the, in the South Pacific to make the airfields. And it's sitting there for display. And there's some other interesting things there. Terry's Mobile Vehicle Services in this area. The glass shop is here, right in here. And the C2 zoning conditional C2 is here. So we feel like this is entirely appropriate. We have to look at, is it more appropriate to go ag, residential? No, nobody wants that. The neighbors weighed in on that. I have a letter here from Michael Kimura. I will read that into the record. To whom it is may concern, my name is Michael Kimura. I live at 23190 Canyon Lane in Caldwell. My residence is approximately 100 yards to the property owned by Greg Payne, of which he is wanting to zone C2. I would much rather see this property be zoned as commercial than see it turned into a residential housing area. If you have any questions, and he gives us information. The problem we have is we can't wait 2.5 years to tell somebody that wants to come here and do a business that we'll give them an answer in 2.5 years. You know, make an application, and we'll let you know in 2.5 years whether you can do that or not. So it's a problematic. I'll read a letter from Western Alliance. This is from Dave Lincoln, Executive Director. Dear Commissioners, I am writing in support of the Allen Mills request for rezoning of property located west of Middleton on Highway 44 to C2 for commercial use. I agree with Mr. Mills that it has become difficult, if not impossible, to attract business and industry to properties that aren't previously zoned. Business and industry now demand as close to immediate availability for construction to even get a business site visit. Prior commercial zoning can also give the incentive for the landowner to get necessary primary infrastructure installed, which also is attractive to commercial development. Industry is not interested in having to pursue a process or the cost on their own for commercial zoning. Canyon County would benefit substantially from the added tax base that new business and industry could bring on any property that will attract the best enterprises. I understand a portion of the property is already zoned C1. Please consider the positive and good opportunities that C2 zoning change would give this area of rural Canyon County. Dave Lincoln, Executive Director. And you don't have to take my word for it either. I challenge you to go to any real estate broker in the whole valley and ask them if this is true stuff. County rezoned the boulevard in 1979, as I mentioned, and if you drive it, it's developed just exactly as planned. This property is very well buffered by a canal on the north with very large and dense trees and a significant rise in elevation. It's very hard to see any structures to the north and vice versa. And I'd like to give you just one possible example of a use that would go there. Currently, 44 Livestock and Supply is a local business that's on the highway. Unfortunately, their main building is in the road right away. And when ITD widens Highway 44, it's going to wipe out that entire business. It would be nice for him to be able to have an option just down the road in the same service area to just relocate, but he'd have to do it in a timely manner and have to have something available. He couldn't afford to take 2.5 years to find out if he could move that business. I'm not saying he is going to do that, but ITD is saying that they are going to widen that road, so it's a real possibility. There seemed to be some fear from staff and the P&Z Commission that something negative could go in on the property of Mr. Payne without a specific use being determined. I'd like to point out there's no one in this room or anywhere out there that has more desire and interest in making this a nice, compatible, and beneficial project than Mr. Payne. He fully understands that his value needs protected from undesirable conditions. I think the highest and most concern comes from the owner that would be cutting his own throat if he allowed something negative to go in there. And we've limited the uses to where we're trying to take out those possibilities to the degree possible. Having said all this, we have recessed the request and offer the following. which we think is a very good compromise and solution to concerns. Mr. Payne would like to restrict the northern C2 7 acres to mini storage, RV storage, and public and quasi-public uses only. This will buffer the rural residential properties to the north. This will also use the landscape of trees in the middle mill ditches above the Payne property. The 7 acres that is zoned C1 would stay C1. That fronts Highway 44. The middle 7 acres would be zoned C2 with the following restrictions. Uses not allowed would be churches, clinics, hospitals, family daycare, group daycare, daycare center, mortuaries, crematoriums, or funeral homes, museums.
Go ahead and finish.
Radio and television broadcasting stations, schools, vehicle fueling center, and convenience store. Uses that would be allowed for the middle 7 acres would be animal hospital, caretaker residence, commercial and off-street parking facilities, contractor shop, equipment rentals, farm implement sales and service, farm supply sales, firewood sales, fireworks sales, landscaping business, lumberyard, mini storage and RV storage, nursery, wholesale nursery, outdoor sales and displays, sale of grain, hay, seed, and related products, sale of heavy building materials, machinery, seasonal activities, staging areas, utility systems, utility distribution systems, assisted care facility, retail stores, business office space, special events center, public and quasi-public uses, and vehicle service facility. So we would limit those uses to those. And some of the concerns about infrastructure and so forth, ITD and Canyon Highway 4 have the jurisdiction for all of that. And we're not going to be able to do anything negative. We have to please them. We won't get an approach permit. We can't even get started without pleasing those entities. Southwest District Health has to bless any proposal for a well or septic system or anything like that. I think these things are covered, and I think we're starting to worry about hypotheticals that haven't been a problem in the past that I know of, and certainly in this case, with Mr. Payne's record, should not be an issue. And I will present these to Dan, and he can give you copies if you would like to accept them of all these three, and then I will sit for questions.
Chairman?
Yes.
What I heard you say is that there's a new proposal in there to leave the front 7 acres that borders Highway 44 as C1. That's 7.4 acres, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and so that remaining 14 acres, that would be a C2 designation. And did you have a band for that middle 7 acres that was different than the northern portion, or it was all together?
No, it's definitely separate. I don't know if we have. So if we take into thirds, basically it's 21 acres from mm-hmm. 7, 7, to 7.
Okay.
The northern 7 acres we would restrict to just RV.
Just a, okay.
And mini storage, which is what the one neighbor that had the opposition letter wanted to see. We've tried to work, you know, fully with the neighbors on accommodating their desires. So that would be the only use for that.
Okay.
The middle one would be restricted just to the ones that I read that are in this letter.
So there is a change on there where formerly, like the public use that I asked Dan about in the beginning, that's now an allowed use in there with what he enumerated, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason we did that is because I can't name you the entity because of proprietary issues, but let's take an irrigation company. I did a conditional use for them, one of the companies on Golding Lane, just east of Middleton, years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a shop. They needed a place to store their trucks and ditch rider equipment and so forth. And that would fall under the public and quasi-public. And we've had somebody reach out to us that fits that.
Okay.
So that's why we left that in there.
Okay. And then one of the things that I did not hear you, I guess it's prohibited in C1, so now if we're looking at C2, and that's the middle section, but that an approved use in a C2 is a shooting range.
We didn't find that. If it is, we don't
okay.
have any interest in that.
Thank you. I didn't think that you would. That would not be appropriate for your neighbors. But Okay.
Alan, since we don't get to go visit the property, so you said that the residences to the north, they're not down right by the canal where this abuts to the, they're residences that are clear up above. Is that?
Yes, you have this property, which is quite level.
Right.
And then you have the canal that runs to the, on the north boundary the north of this boundary. Property. And very old, mature, tall tree line all along that canal. And when I look from the highway up there, I can only see part of one house.
Okay.
Very well buffered with that.
Okay.
It's quite an elevation change, too.
Elevation change, yeah. In addition, too. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Mills, was this 777 plan, the way you just spoke it into the record, is that the way it was proposed at P&Z?
No. No. We took all the comments and the feedback, and we should have realized from the beginning that C1 is entirely appropriate for that frontage on 44. Those kind of businesses want that signage and that frontage and exposure. The type of businesses we're in conflict for back are more of a destination business. Like, take an integration company, they don't need signage, they don't need any of that. So they're more appropriate to go to the north. So we did change that.
Mr. Chairman, as much as I hate to see this continued again, we have established a policy of sending stuff back to P&Z that changes substantially between P&Z's presentation or hearing and ours.
Yeah, I agree. For me, Mr. Mills, this is a game changer compared to having the C2 abut up against existing residential, even though I didn't understand about the elevation change and the tree buffer. I'm concerned about the precedence that it would make, even though there is a canal. I mean, it's a unique piece of property when you consider about abutting a C2 zone up against a residential area. I would have to concur with your concern.
Chairman, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to play both sides here, but there is a lag time. I don't know how long this application has been in there. I hear Mr. Mills saying that the C2 and the C1 in Canyon County is limited. I believe that the zoning designation for this corridor along Highway 44, just like along 19, alike other corridors in Canyon County, is a right designation.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sorry, Commissioner Van Beek. I'm concerned if we are going to entertain remaining consistent with sending back and remanding an application that has what I would consider a substantial change. My concern is that we do not enter into deliberation on that before it gets sent back to be evaluated for what the change is.
So that's
my concern where you're going.
Yep, thank you for that. I guess I have a question for staff, and I'm trying to figure out how to formulate my question. Would we have the ability to condition this? Like, if the board were in deliberation and we wanted to move toward an approval, is that allowed for the board?
We haven't received this information, so it hasn't been analyzed to see if this is, so this would be something, here's your choices, basically. The board could, based on the information provided, request staff to bring back, table this to another day, bring back the information, do maybe another noticing so that gets out, and then we can re-review it based on the new information. What the board has been consistently doing is remanding it back to the P&Z so the P&Z can give a recommendation first before making a decision on that new information. The other thing the board could consider is moving forward with this and considering the case as is and seeing if you want to approve it as is and have the applicant reapply. And the reason why I bring that option up is this has been in since 2022 and has been through the process, has this analysis done, all the fees and stuff have been exhausted. So remanding it back would require a new staff report, more noticing and things like that that is not covered under the cost of the permit. So something, do you consider the project as is and have them reapply for this new request, or you have your other options, make a decision that could change the recommendation. You can do that change of recommendation with a re-notification and with the new information provided, or you can remand it back and have the new information provided and go through the noticing and the recommendation by the PNC that would be ultimately brought back to you once they make that decision.
Zach, our counsel, do you share the observation from the commission that it's a material change?
Correct, Chairman. I think that's a fair assessment of what Mr. Mills has identified today. It's a new plan. As Dan stated, they've not had time to analyze it.
I personally touch my toe in the water and say, I really like the material change. That's just how we have to handle it procedurally within the county is my concern that we do that well.
Mr. Chairman, as long as we have not addressed a policy of basically making the decision and then based upon that decision having to reapply, knowing where we are in the process and knowing what we have done in similar situations where applications have been changed, I'm not comfortable moving forward. I would like to remain consistent and send this back to P&Z so they could evaluate it with what has been presented thus far.
Zach, do you see any procedural caution that you can see of legally just to remand it back? I hear what Dan's saying about staff and all that. I get that, and that causes a whole different issue that doesn't need to be discussed here.
Chairman, I think that Dan has laid out your options before you. We have this new procedure, though, that the board's been using that we've built into the county's ordinance that's found in Chapter 1 or Article 1, Chapter 17 of the code that has these reband provisions that would allow the board in a situation like this where there's been substantial additions, amendments, or modification to the application to be remanded to the Planning and Zoning Commission or hearing examiner, as the case may be.
Okay.
This is the sort of situation that that code was intended to be utilized for.
Okay. My concern is that I would like the most expedient path forward for the applicant that we can provide. Also don't want to spend all of my P&Z resources on one application when the application morphs. Commission, how would you like to proceed? I'd like to remand it back to P&Z at this point.
That's where I'm at, Mr. Chairman. And I think in a workshop, probably tomorrow it could be brought up concerns about this process maybe needing to be further evaluated.
Okay.
So applications do not get caught in a loop.
Right. Because the other option is not good for them, is to go ahead and go through this hearing and deny it and then, because it wasn't what was presented to P&amp;Z. It's a material change. So where are you at, Commissioner Van Beek?
Well, having attended several city council meetings in Middleton, I probably have more information, which I believe I've communicated in an open meeting forum. The city of Middleton and Canyon County need some of this zoning designation. This isn't necessarily this board. We're trying to make a path forward. And this is complicated further by the ordinance that was passed, which does nothing to attract businesses. I, too, like this idea. The new idea that Mr. Mills has presented for the breakup of that.
The seven.
Correct. The 777.
Correct. Okay. All right. You wouldn't be in a position to have any concept of how quick this could be interjected into a P&amp;Z hearing process?
Through the board, if that's the only information that's going to be submitted to remand that back, if the applicant doesn't want to submit any more except for that new information, then it would just be looking up the next available hearing date. Making sure we review it first, analyze it, be able to update the staff report, find the next available hearing date, and schedule it for that.
Okay.
It's up to the board if you want that new information sent to the agencies to get comments first, or just to move forward, and the normal notification to those agencies and residents would be per our code at that point. Instead of, I say that because when an application comes in, we do a initial review by the agencies to get comments so we can build those findings. This is a different application now, so there's it might be beneficial to get that 30-day notice from those agencies to see what to weigh in on some of those uses being proposed now. But if not, the hearing noticing process could do that.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, what I would recommend is allow staff to evaluate those proposals so we can make a better projection. It's possible that it could be November. It's possible December. I think we just kind of need to get our eyes on it. But we would, if we opt to not send that first initial agency notice, it would still have an agency notice that would be sent when it would have public hearing. So there's a couple different paths that we can take. Just need to get our eyes on.
I'm comfortable with the agency notice. There isn't any change of, they're lowering the intensity of use to C1 in some areas and keeping the C2 in the middle. So I don't see that there's a giant change for the noticing. Do you see it?
Mr. Chairman, based on what the agencies have already provided us, I don't feel it necessary to send it back out to them again.
Okay.
And I would add, too, I would be interested to hear if the applicant's representative would like us to continue down this path or basically ignore what he just put onto the record as his intent for the application.
We can't get out of sequence. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ellen.
Well, I need to understand that question but a little more thoroughly. So what is the question?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mills, basically we have an ordinance that states that if a material change has been presented between P&Z and the board, that planning and zoning did not have the opportunity to evaluate, that we would remand it before making a decision so that P&Z could evaluate it based on what you've put onto the record is your intent for the application. And then it would go back to P&Z and then come here.
We want to do this correctly and right and not put anybody in jeopardy anywhere along the line. As long as that could be done in a fairly expedient time frame, that would be fully acceptable.
So, Mr. Chairman, as Mr. Anderson put on the record, November, December is basically that timeline, hopefully.
That would be lightning quick.
Okay.
For us, I mean, that it works. Okay. Am I getting picked up?
Yeah, you need to talk a little more into the mic. It sounds like the back is not picking you up. Okay. That's what I would see that we need to move forward.
If you'd indulge us, I've got input coming in and handwriting here.
I wouldn't call it handwriting. I'd call it more chicken scratch. I should have been a doctor, but it didn't work out well. Within everything.
It's not going to work. Yeah, because the significant change.
Do we just want to take a brief recess?
Yeah.
You know, if it's why don't we take a 10-minute recess? We'll reconvene at around 3:35. Let's be in recess for a bit.
2:35,
who we talk to and what we talk. So.
2:35.
2:35. Thank you for the correction. All right. We'll be in recess. Thank you.